Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today, going through our study of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 11, which says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." And as we've been looking at this verse and looking at what the Apostle Paul has been saying unto these saints in Thessalonica, we've been talking about some things related to the Godhead and some of the struggles that individuals have related to identifying who God is and looking at all three members of the Godhead. Now we're going to look here at the issue of when it says, "and our Father," as our starting point for today's lesson, because here we have Paul bringing up a very specific member of the Godhead and the relationship that God the Father has to the members of the body of Christ and what it is that He does for us. And let's start here. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians, and we'll go to chapter number 1. And we're going to see here a couple things that Paul makes a reference to here in Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to start here at verse number 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we see that the source of this spirit of wisdom and revelation is coming from God the Father. Paul's praying for these individuals here that God the Father would give them the information that they would need to understand the doctrine in this dispensation. He's praying that as they would study the Word of God rightly divided, that they would get this insight. And this is how, you know, the insight can only come to what the Word of God says once somebody has salvation. Once somebody puts their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and putting their trust in that and that alone, a person has salvation. And when they have salvation, then they have this ability to start to understand what the Word of God says to them as they're taking it in. That's the whole process of what you see Paul talking about in Romans chapter number 12, when he talks about that renewing of the mind, that transformation that's to occur as the Word of God is being taken in. This is what then would allow for the Lord Jesus Christ to live through the individual. Now, as we say this, we can see how, if we go back a few verses to verse number 2 of this same epistle, you see how the Apostle Paul has separated out that there's God the Father and God the Son. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's an issue of that there's a separation between the two of them. Then he starts in verse number 3 to identify some of these things that come from God the Father. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, all of these blessings that we see come upon us, not because we've done anything, not because we've performed well enough to be able to earn these things. These are all promises given to us because we are identified as members of the body of Christ. We can't see them. We can't feel them. We have no idea that we have any of these blessings other than the fact that the Word of God says that we have them. That's why it's all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These are things that the only way that we know them is that Paul has identified for us that this is going to actually occur for us. Now let's turn over here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we're going to see something else that the Apostle Paul says here about God here. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, we're going to read here verse 16. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We see this issue of this dwelling in the members of the body of Christ. You know, this is something that you never saw anything being said like this to the nation of Israel. Anytime there was a mention of a thing of saying, okay, the relationship between God and the nation of Israel was always God with them. It was never God in them. It was God in them. Now let's turn back over to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to turn to chapter number 1 here. And we're going to see here in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So we see that it's God the Father who raised God the Son as part of the plan that had been laid out before the foundation of the world, in order for there to be the reconciliation not only of the earth, but also the reconciliation of the heavenly places, as the Godhead had determined before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're here, let's turn over to chapter number 5 in the same epistle here. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, let's read here verse number 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's the God of peace, God the Father, that's going to sanctify the individual. Sanctifying me, identifying the thing of the setting apart of the individual for a particular purpose. And how you see as that is happening, it talks about how the entire individual, the spirit, the soul, and the body are going to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the set, you know, the day of Christ, you know, the time that is identified, you know, by some people calling it the rapture or the catching out of the saints, but the entire person. And I stress the thing of the entire person because there are individuals who teach it, you know, all we are is a soul in the eyes of God. But you see here that Paul saying that our spirit, soul, and body. He's identifying the fact that this is the entire individual is going to be preserved blameless. You know, now, it's not anything to do with us on why we can be considered to be blameless. We are blameless in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's a sanctification that occurs, a setting apart, so that way we can be seen as blameless. Now, there are a lot of things that are said about God the Father related to the nation of Israel, and those things that are said about him related to the nation of Israel also relate to the fact of, you know, the principles of them carry forward, you know, as interdispensational truths, because they are discussions of who God is. Let's turn over to the book of Isaiah, and we'll go to Isaiah chapter number 64 to see a statement that's going to be made here in the book of Isaiah related to who God the Father is. We're going to read here verse number 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." Now, the issue of what Isaiah is talking about here relates to the identification of God the Father as the Creator. Now, when you look at the issues of creation, you see all three parts of the Godhead involved in the creation. Now, you see how God the Father is identified as the Creator. You'll see how Paul will talk about how all things were made by Jesus Christ. So, identifying the role that the Lord Jesus Christ had in the creation. You see the Spirit involved in the creation. So, the entire Godhead, as the plan of God carries out, the entire Godhead is always involved in this plan. Now, let's turn over here into the book of Psalms, and we're going to turn to Psalm 90 for a moment to see another thing that the scriptures say about who God is. And here in Psalm 90, we're going to read here verse number 2. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Now, this issue of from everlasting to everlasting is talking about the fact that God is eternal. And, you know, that's one of those words that has, you know, over the last few years has, you know, become, you know, unfortunately a battleground for individuals, because you have, a you know, some people talking about the fact that these words eternal and everlasting don't actually mean the fact that something is going to last forever, which is another one of those words, and that they put a time frame on those and say, well, it, you know, any of those words, everlasting, eternal, you know, forever, that they have an end, which would mean that it, when we see God being identified in those manner, that God would then have an end, because this is how he's identified. Now, we see here, let's go over to 1 John chapter number 3. This is going to be another one of these attributes of God that has come under attack, and an increasing attack that is happening with this. And this is going to be related to the knowledge that God has. And here in 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to read here verse number 20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Now, John is very clear when he's talking about the knowledge that God the Father has, and he says that God knoweth all things. Now, I say this because, again, there's that limitation of saying, well, God knows some things, but God doesn't know all the details of how these things are going to work out. If it says that God knows all things, it means that God knows all things. There is no limit to what God knows. Now, just because he knows things doesn't mean that he's caused all these things to happen. And that's the other side that people try to put as well, that God causes all things to happen. You know, God doesn't cause all things to happen. You know, we have a free will. We make choices, and based on the choices that we make, certain things are going to happen in our lives. You know, and what happens is God knows this is what's going to happen. God allows these things to occur, but God doesn't cause them to happen. And that's a big distinction that individuals really struggle with on saying what it is that God does. Now, just as the Apostle Paul talked about God the Father in our text, he also mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll, you know, and we're going to spend a lot more time on all these different attributes of who God the Father is, but let's move on. We're going to start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if we'll actually finish that discussion here, but let's start here over in Romans chapter number 8. Here to see something that the Apostle Paul says about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 8, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to get to that verse, it's going to talk about the fact that we have an inheritance in him, and he has an inheritance in us. That's what makes us joint heirs with him, is that when we get to the heavenly places, there's going to be a thing of that he gets an inheritance and we get an inheritance. We get some things that allow us to be able to rule and reign with him. He gets us to rule and reign with him. You know, this is, you know, such a glorious thing to think about, of what's going to be true of our position in heavenly places. Because, you know, we don't spend a lot of time, unfortunately, talking about the things of what we are going to do in the heavenly places. You know, we talk about our relationship here on earth. We talk about all these different things of who we are here on the earth, but we don't spend a lot of time dealing with, well, what are, you know, what's our position in heaven? What are we going to be doing? When it says we're going to rule and reign with him, what does that mean? What does it mean that we're going to be judging angels? All of these different things that the scriptures talk about related to our future. And we should have an understanding of those things in order to know what God intends for us. Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're going to see here another thing that the Apostle Paul says about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us here. And we're actually going to read our gospel here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read the first four verses of the chapter. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, the Apostle Paul here is talking about the fact that what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary took care of the issue of sin. Now, so many people don't even want to think about the fact of, you know, what it is that has been done, you know, for all of mankind, and try to limit the idea of, well, he's just talking about the believers here, when Paul's saying here that Christ died for ours, that the issue of sin, and you can see, you know, Romans chapter number 3 talk about that, you know, the remission of sins that are past. The sin issue has already been taken care of. All we have to do is put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And the moment that happens, all of those spiritual blessings occur. We are seen as being, you know, a son of God. We are seen as being righteous in the eyes of God. And all of it having nothing to do with us. It all has to do with Christ in us. Because the moment that we put our trust in what we just read here in 1 Corinthians 15, it becomes Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when he's in us, then we have the ability to allow him to live through us. And when he lives through us, then we are living the life that is pleasing unto God, doing the things that have been intended for us according to the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon. And that's, you know, our focus, even though we'll go from time to time to other passages in the Scripture. You know, when I teach on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter and using that as a thing of the contrast, what is being said to the nation of Israel with the instructions given to the Apostle Paul. Because, you know, while we should have an understanding of those things, our primary focus is always to be on the doctrine that's given to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon, because those are the things that directly apply to us, that directly state, you know, this is how we are to be pleasing unto God. And this is what God intends for us to do. And that's where we should always be focusing on those things. Now, next week, we're going to continue looking at some things related to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. How to watch our Wednesday night Bible studies. You know, they're also broadcast on Facebook as well, but there is a conference call option as well for an audio thing of that. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our studies, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.